All right, jerk-offs, it is the first proper episode of 2019. We did it. We made it through Christmas, into the new year, into this, in the middle of this sad January. That's apparently what British people refer to as, that's what they call January. They think it's a bit sad. They think it's a down month. I think that's why so many of them do dry January. There's a lot of that. There's Veganuary as well. You know, people just really putting things aside to kick off the year and then immediately forsaking that once February rolls around. I don't see the point. Don't worry. I'm drinking. I'm eating meat. I'm continuing as normal into the new year. I got a bit of a fun month coming up. I got some gigs overseas. I got some gigs in different parts of the UK. But first things first, I got this episode for you. I got this one, this bad boy coming out. With a guest from Wales, my favorite villain in the United Kingdom, Wales. I like to hate Wales. I'll be honest with you. I like to. I've got jokes about hating Wales. I like to say it publicly. Even privately, I like to dislike Wales. Not anything too mean. Just a couple of jokes at their expense here or there. It feels good. You know, I'm a big sports guy. And one thing you know about supporting a team in the sports, you got to hate another team. That's a part of it. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good a person you are. If you like a certain team to the point of proper support, you will hate another team. A team that they hate. You take that on board and you enjoy it. You don't go to violence. You don't do any of that shit. But you just enjoy disliking that team. You might even dislike a player on your team. So when your team loses, you can blame that player. You know, every time it's their fault. Personally, I prefer that to blaming the coach. I like blaming the coach. I think that's a bit mean. They're just a 50-year-old dude with some ideas. What can they really do? But anyway, that's my Wales, man. I like to dislike Wales. I like to dislike them. And so I thought it was only fair to get a Welsh person on the show. And the guest today, I want to get straight in there, is Robin Morgan. We had the same time slot at Edinburgh this year. We met every day at about 3 p.m. at the Counting House, flying for our shows. He had a whole flying team, but he still flied himself every single day. I had absolutely no flying team, but still took a couple of days off when I was very hungover. But that's just the kind of people we both are. We became friends across that. It was good fun. He was always very curious why I dislike Wales, and I couldn't really tell you. I think it's like the way that you kind of enter like a place that makes you dislike it. And with my situation with no car, like anywhere that I get like a long bus that is delayed to, I tend not to like that place. I know it's not that place's fault, but if you're on a mega bus for an extra hour and a half, you can't help but dislike that place just a little bit. Somehow blame that place's location for your current mood, for your current agony of having to spend more time on a mega bus. All right? That's just no good for anybody. But yeah, I've done a couple of gigs in Wales. I've done the Glee in Cardiff, which is like obviously the Glee. They're some of the best clubs in the country. So that was obviously a great gig, good fun. Before that, I'd done some kind of knock-around gigs in Swansea, which I'm told is an incredibly rough area. And I got to say, walking through, yeah, I could see that. It's just that kind of thing where like every shop, like every kind of major shop, like your supermarket, your department store is like massive, like so big. Like, you know, you could house like a jet inside one of those stores. That's how big they are. And then there's like that one street that is like the nightlife street. And on that street, there's equal amounts of kebab shops and clubs. It just kind of has a sketchy vibe. I don't know why. That was my feeling there. Also had a shocking gig. So maybe that had something to do with it. But yes, bombing in Wales. It felt good at the end of the show to win them back over. I hugged an old man. That's what I did to get him back on side, and it worked. And that's what I do respect about the Welsh. You can warm their heart quite easily. That is a ridiculous generalization. But anyway, I'm going to grill Robin about all things Wales. Before we get into that, I just want you to know I've mentioned this previously, but I have a special coming out January 8th, which will be available around the world on iTunes. And in Australia, you can get it on Vimeo or you can play it on Amazon Prime. It is called Daniel Muggleton, Let's Never Hang Out. It's being released through Comedy Dynamics. All the information is on my website, www.danielmuggleton.com. Or you can just, you know, that's on my social media as well, at Dan Muggleton on Twitter and Instagram. All the pre-order details, all the order details are there. And if you do live in London, I'm putting a one-off little show on tomorrow night to honor it. So the 8th of January, the day that it is released, that night at 8 p.m., if you want to get up to 2 North Down, it's right near King's Cross Station. I'm going to put on a show. Got some of my favorite comedians, my mates from over here. They're doing a little bit of a show, doing some of their own jokes, and then my jokes from the special. So that's a little, you know, something different. Why not? And it does feature a couple of previous guests, including Pianovelli and Tom Horton, the man who lives in the Tower of London. He's leaving just to help me out. What a good bloke. All right, that's that. Please do order it. I would appreciate it. Otherwise, here is the Welshman, Robin Morgan. So we just go.
Cool, let's do it.
And then I cut in at the point where you become interesting.
Okay, sure.
So that's the thing. Like you can actually warm up like real slow. Like, you know, there's athletes who do like a 30-minute warm up.
Okay, and you'll just have to listen to it. Okay, great. Well, this is great for me.
Yeah, I'll just see like the Robin Morgan like doing the stretches.
Yeah.
And then eventually you'll hit peak match fitness, and then the audience will be like, "Fuck, this guy is ready to go."
So excited.
Comes out slinging guns.
It's going to be great, man. I've dressed up for this as well.
You have? You know? I mean...
I've got gigs later, but...
It was for this.
You've got to dress up for a podcast, haven't you? You've got to get your makeup done and get a stylist.
Well, I mean, I consider you a very well-dressed man.
It's very sweet of you.
I've never...
So are you, but I think on polar opposites of the fashion...
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I could not rock what you're rocking.
Yeah. Like, you're like kind of like dressed for the job you want.
Sure.
Whereas I'm kind of like dress for the job that you have, which is no job.
Sure. Yeah, dress for the job you've just got fired from.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just...
I'm taking a personal day from the job.
Yeah, just like, look, guys, this is my time. I've just been let go. I want to be comfortable.
Yeah, I've called in sick. I'm hungover.
Yeah, because I'm not comfortable in who I am as a human being at the moment. So let's do it. I also like
time.
That I offered you a mince pie and you took one immediately.
Yeah, and I'm going to smash through these other four.
I know. I saw. I left
them over
there.
It's Christmas, man. It's great.
And this is the kind of happy-go-lucky fella. It's like this well-dressed, nice man.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this when I was waiting for you to come over.
Mm.
Like, are you Christian?
No.
It is remarkable that you're not.
That's an excellent observation. Yeah, that's completely fair. Yeah, I can completely understand why.
You know those people where you're just like, man, like that guy must have a higher power.
But I think
that
also,
reassures him.
Also with married young and kid, you'd be like, oh, he's Christian. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, look, that's true as well. I actually didn't take the empirical facts
into it. This is all adding up, mate.
Yeah.
This goes all the way to the top, literally.
This is the thing. You could be a Christian man.
Yeah.
You could pass a Christian man.
Thank you.
Is that advantageous, though?
I don't know. I think it probably would have been. Crusades time. Sure.
Well, I mean, not if you were in a Muslim place, because back then...
Well,
that was pretty real.
I mean, I studied history, but I did not know what happened in the Crusades.
Ah.
I'm just trying to seem more intelligent than I am.
In fairness, I don't know who won.
Spoilers. We haven't had to find out.
Do you know who won the Crusades?
I thought the Crusades was Christians killing Muslims.
I thought it was like a fight. I thought it was like
a battle.
Yeah.
I thought it was overwhelmingly. Am I allowed to Google?
I mean...
Or shall I ask Siri?
Can you ask Siri? I don't... All right, this makes sense given my like laid back dress sense.
Sure,
I'm also highly suspicious of anything that recognizes your voice. Like I don't use voice commands on anything. Or the fingerprint open for the phone, refuse.
Really,
I will not do
What do you think is being? What do you think they're doing?
I have no idea.
But like, it's safer
it
not
just,
to.
It just, I'm not all the way to the tape on the webcam.
Sure,
but
see.
If I'm ever in a compromising position in front of my laptop, I'll make sure the camera isn't catching anything too saucy.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I don't have the tape either, but I know people who do have the tape who are fine with...
The fingerprint?
Yeah.
Really? The fingerprint bothers me more. I don't want Steve Jobs having my digits, you know?
I just think he's not going to want mine.
But this, you'd never know that. Like, what are they? Is it really that much more convenient? I just don't have a passcode on my phone.
That's mad. That's madness.
People look at me like I'm mad, and I'm like, you're telling big companies your voice and your fingerprints.
But what are they going to do?
They're going to clone you.
No,
they're going to make a Christian version of you.
I'm a white male comedian. They don't need to clone me. I'm fine.
There are a lot of us. Have you ever been in a room with a lot of us?
Yeah, it's exhausting.
It's terrifying. You walk in and you see, like, you know, like Possible Worlds Theory? You see that of your face.
Yeah.
It's just like, these are everything you can do with a very average male face.
Well, me and you, for sure. Like, yeah. In Edinburgh and stuff, that was... it was two options for people to choose when they had our shows.
Yeah, well, same time.
Yeah, man.
And it was just like, would you like the job you want? Or the job you just got fired from? Which would you like at 4 p.m.?
And it was an equal split.
Yeah.
It was nice.
I liked it because, like... You know when some people would walk up because you profile because you're a piece of shit in Edinburgh?
Oh, yeah.
And you're just profiling audiences all day, every day?
First year I was up there, I didn't do that and wasted so many. I was trying to be just super nice. And then by the end of
you were trying to be super nice?
It's crazy, right?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievably.
I can't believe we've got a scoop on this podcast already. Robin Morgan used to be nice.
I'm going to be so offensive later on, man. It's gonna good. Be crazy. Yeah, and it was complete fucking waste of time.
They just brought everyone in, and like half of them were just like, clearly, like, we want you to call us cunts for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, this actually isn't that show.
It's very, and the show is half an hour, so that wouldn't work anymore. So, I mean, but also, like, I then tried to double down on it and just kind of went, right, okay, so I'm just going to be really, really, I'm going to get loads of young people in, because obviously I was like a young guy, and then I have no fucking money.
Yeah, because young people have no money.
Shameful.
I know. It's like, because that's if you do the Free Fringe at Edinburgh, that is the tightrope you're walking.
Yes,
for sure. It's like, would you like people who will visibly not enjoy the show but pay you £10? Or would you like people that will visibly enjoy the show and give you a voucher for Ribena?
Yeah, I think...
Which I got this year.
Really?
American. Bitch. If anyone should understand tipping culture... It should be an American.
True. I mean, maybe she did, but that's a real statement.
She...
This guy needs some black currant.
That is a Robin Morgan burn. Like, not a straight out burn, but a suggestion of a burn.
You make of that what you will.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to walk you all the way there. You need to finish burning yourself. But no, she apologized, being like, this is all I've got, and gave me the Ribena voucher.
Would you have rather nothing?
I don't know. I mean, I get to bring up the Ribena voucher every now and again.
For sure, I imagine you have quite often.
No, not really.
Okay.
I leave on my big stories for you.
Sure.
I was in Edinburgh because we had the same show, same time.
It was nice, man.
Report back.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. You'd be like, how was that? That was okay. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, there's little debriefs in the room above both of us.
Counting House, great venue.
Yeah, very strong.
If anyone Edinburgh's, I would say, the Counting House in terms of Free Fringe would be like the best.
I'd say so. I think... the amount of rooms there, there's a nice kind of vibe.
Yeah,
I think.
And they put good, generally pretty good acts.
I think they seem to cultivate it there, don't they? They want to make sure that it's...
Well, it's because the venue themselves kind of are a bit invested.
That makes
a
difference. And the staff are fucking great, man.
Yeah.
They care.
That's our quick little plug for the Counting House.
Yeah, exactly.
AKA the Pear Tree.
Can't wait to get some free beers there next year.
Oh, man. They still... I don't get free beers. I got the staff, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We get the staff. But they did put, at one point, didn't they sort of take down a chalkboard? They
covered up a chalkboard.
With our faces.
It had the non-festival prices on it, I think.
Oh, shit, was that it?
Yeah.
You know, work.
For those of you who don't know, Edinburgh, they just like double their prices during the festival because they're like, London people will pay this.
Yeah.
And they do. And it's still cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
It was a fun time though, man.
But
we were the ones
who were put on.
Yeah.
We took over the chalkboard. I want everyone to know.
I like that.
Out of 60 shows in that venue, they were like, Robin, Dan, 4 p.m. team.
Yeah. Yeah. Direct competition.
Yeah. We want you on the chalkboard. We want everyone at 4 p.m. to have a sick time.
Everyone else can fuck off.
Yeah. Every other time slot, no thank you. But, I mean, I never know whether to do introductions on this because, like, we kind of do and we kind of don't. But I want to introduce you, Rob Morgan, from Wales.
Yes.
That's your... Because I don't know if your accent...
No, I don't think people would assume that. But also, I think... So I was born in Brighton, England.
I'm aware of Brighton.
Lovely place.
Yes.
But then moved to Wales when I was a baby. My dad is Welsh. My mum is Welsh. Uh-huh. And I've only lived there for 25 years.
So you're an anchor baby.
Yes.
In England.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Just in case the UK breaks down, yeah, man, Robin you've got will always have citizenship.
That's fine. It's all good.
He wanted to be like climbing the bridge.
Yeah. But yeah.
Can you imagine coyotes between Wales and England? You know, like coyotes at the American-Mexican border? They're called coyotes, the people who...
Oh, I didn't know that.
The people who smuggle people across the border.
They were just humans, you know? I mean... human beings?
Nah, mate. They got a proper term.
Okay.
I assume it's because it sounds sick in Spanish, but I don't know.
Yeah,
coyote sounds like a word that would be good in Spanish.
You know? Yeah.
It's already got a bit of flavor, and it's like, fuck, I can't wait to see what they add to this thing.
This is going to be fucking carnage.
Yeah, this is going to be great. But no, so you started, but that surely doesn't affect your accent at all.
The Welsh thing or the English thing?
The being born.
No, I don't think so. But Cardiff is, I think, quite a posh bit of Wales.
It's the poshest bit? Have it here first.
Maybe not sort of like super, like I think there's bits of like West Wales where basically English people to go to buy their holiday homes and stay there. So it might not be like super posh, but I think it's sort of there's not much of a proper Welsh accent there. I don't think, or in the areas that I was.
Sure. They'd be like obviously
I was sheltered.
Sheltered
in some middle class.
Oh man, as you should be. Yeah, as you deserve.
Thank you so much.
That button is done up. Yeah. Is he wearing a tie? Fuck no, he's not wearing a tie.
No, he's not even got a fucking collar, man.
Exactly. That's the kind of man I'm with.
I like a granddad shirt, man. Getting really into them.
Granddad shirts?
Yeah, it's really cool. Granddad collars.
But so wait, so why were they in the Brighton to begin with? Were they having a rebellious phase and then moved back?
No, so I think did they study there, my parents? I don't know. They my dad was, yeah, they met in Brighton. Oh, this is true. They met in a factory that was making anti-Conservative Party slogan pin badges. Right? How fucking like sweet is that?
In Brighton?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the most left-leaning place in England. Antique Conservative Party pin badges.
Yeah, exactly. It makes a complete sense. I'd love it. They showed me that they had some things that like, we can't afford the rich. But my favorite one was, if Maggie's the answer, it must have been a very silly question. Rather than just like discourse now, which is like, if you voted Leave, fucking kill your family. Like,
yeah, oh man. It's
so
really,
sweet now.
We've taken things more seriously.
Yeah, big time. We've gone quite big.
Back then it was like, you know, a bit of wit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, like, what does this actually mean?
Whereas, a raised eyebrow.
Now is like, if you even think that the Tories might have one good idea, set yourself on fire.
Take that pin
badge
and stab yourself in the eye with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they...
So that's what they did. Okay. And they met there.
It's quite sweet, isn't it?
Factory meeting.
Man. But like a sort of like a fucking hippie...
Yeah.
Smoking weed.
A hippie factory.
Yeah, exactly. Where they made those.
It's like conveyor belts made of hemp.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good union hours.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, that was them, and they moved. So I think my dad got a job back in Cardiff and then uprooted. But he was working quite a lot when I was a kid, so I think my mum kind of like, I think I took my mum's accent. She's got quite sort of
a little one.
RP.
What's an RP?
I think it's received pronunciation. It's kind of I think it's kind of not Queen's English, but it's very kind of just nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's neutral.
Yeah, I don't think I would say I've got an accent.
Yeah. Like if you were a spy trying to pretend to be from anywhere in the UK.
Sure, just generic.
This could be it.
Just nothing there, man.
It's just like, who's that? Where's that guy from? Can't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably fine, though. He's definitely not recording us.
Yeah, he's definitely... His parents might have worked in a factory. Yeah. He's not.
Yeah, exactly.
He owns a factory. Yeah. He wears a pin.
Too right. What about you? I don't think I even know where you're from.
I'm from Sydney.
Sydney.
In Australia.
Yes.
Which is the fanciest... I think Sydney's the richest part of Australia.
Okay.
It's expensive. It's expensive as hell. As expensive as London.
Really?
Yeah, property as well as stuff. Fuck. Like cost of living and property. Fucking heaps expensive, bro.
That's mad.
But we get paid more.
See, that's the issue.
But like not
it?
Enough to like it's better than here. Like I don't know how people save here.
Just I think they don't.
Yeah.
And it's And if they do, then
it's you move out, then you leave.
Yeah, it's just unless people's parents pay their rent.
Yeah, you just can't.
Which you know, some people get very angry about. I think if it happens, you know, if it's happening for you, great. If it's not, then that's also shit.
But wait, so how long have you been here?
4 years been in London.
Four years. So did you start the comedy in the Wales or the London?
In the Wales, I worked behind the bar of a comedy club in Cardiff when I was at university.
The Glee?
The Glee in Cardiff. Ah, got a bar job there.
I've been to the Glee.
It's a wonderful place.
It is.
It's my home away from home. So I worked behind the bar there and then met a few people. There was someone on the bar called Becky who introduced me to the former sound guy, Clint Edwards, who is a stand-up. And
sure.
He just left the Glee, but he booked a little open mic night at this art centre down the road.
Yeah.
I got a chat to him because I didn't even realise that was a job.
Being like, a comedian?
I had no idea. I saw Eddie Izzard DVDs when I was like 12, 13, maybe watched a bit of Mock the Week and stuff as I was a teenager, saw the Frankie Balls and the Russell Howards kind of like touring.
Yeah.
But then like, I didn't think, well, that's TV comics, you know? That's like, there's no...
Thank God someone else in this country had that experience.
Really, same for you?
Yeah, that was for me because like, it just seems absurd. Like to be like, oh, I could just be the guy on the stage.
Yeah.
Like when you're in a place that doesn't really, it's got like the culture of comedy a little bit, but it's like in that kind of TV world, you're like, oh, maybe one day I could go to see the show.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That'd be a good thing to do.
Yeah. And just like the idea of like being like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
Is nuts.
It's, and I didn't, even for the first few years of performing, I had no idea what I didn't know of Edinburgh. I didn't know the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was a thing where you do shows and it's a sort of marketplace for ideas type thing. I had no idea that existed until I moved to, well, I'd been up a couple of times, but didn't realize how important it was for a stand-up until I moved here, got an agent. They were like, do you want to do Edinburgh? I was like, what is Edinburgh? So when I sort of saw these guys on the circuit and stuff. So my first shift, I'd never worked in a bar before.
Yeah.
I was only hired because Lee Evans was doing sort of secret new material things at the Cardiff
Gate. So it was rammed and they needed extra hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, you know, charging people 13 quid for like a single vodka. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. And then I don't know why they kept me on. But then I started seeing this kind of like circuit. So when everyone else would like go, when the bar was always closed and the show was on stage.
Yeah.
So as a good comedy club should be, all the other staff or some of the staff used to go and just like, you know, just hang out in the staff room. I'd be there just like on the bar, just like watching this.
Right,
like
watching the show.
Yeah, proper education. It was amazing.
Just seeing it night after night.
And then
it breaks down that barrier, right?
I think so, especially when you see them come up to you. I remember Mike Wilmot tipping me like, Carlsberg was £3 a pint.
Yeah.
He used to give me a five and told me to keep the change. I was like, that guy's fucking cool. So like stuff like that, like John Fothergill like hanging around for like a drink afterwards. I'm like, that guy's amazing.
Yeah, and it's weird how close is that gap.
Yeah,
like,
when
you see it live. Because that's the thing, for anyone who's like ever wanting to do comedy, like wanting to get into it, I'm just like, just go to one open mic.
Yeah. Oh man.
Just watch it and you'll realize the barrier is your ability to write your name on a sheet.
Sure. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Like ability, irrelevant. Like prestige, non-existent. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a bunch of dudes and like three women. Sorry, it is.
At like, that fucking level, man.
Yeah, at that level, like in a room and like they just say stuff. And what, 90% awful? Maybe like 10% decent. And like, you're just kind of like, oh. It's very easy to do comedy. It's very difficult to be great at it.
To do it well,
but
sure.
But like to do it, mate.
Yeah, that first hurdle
it's like
is...
like sport with no gear.
Sure.
You just turn up.
Yeah. It's, I think if that gig hadn't, if that first gig had, it was very supportive, like Art Center kind of vibe, you know, like this gig had been running for 5-7 years. People kind of knew that it was new acts and stuff.
So they got the gist.
Yeah, I think so. But
like,
I
we
do,
know what we need to do.
Yeah, I do wonder whether that hadn't if that hadn't gone well. It was fine. I found some old videos of me on my laptop a little while ago, like maybe like a year in.
Yeah.
It's painful to watch.
Oh, dude, it's
so painful.
I've got a thing coming out in like 3 weeks.
I think I saw the trailer for it. Like, it's great.
It's coming out. Can't watch it.
Sure.
Even though it hasn't even been officially released, I'm like, ugh. Just can't, you know, just like catch yourself and you're like, God, why'd you do that fucking head?
You idiot.
It's so funny. Like I got sent clips, like the trailer and stuff, but I just forgot that those jokes existed.
Like, that's so funny.
Cause yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're like, but I had that with the album as well. Like I had to listen back and I just like, I got a joke about abortion. Wow. That's just like, I had no idea.
Seems I have that.
Yeah.
I'm okay. So like previews when I've had like shit previews and I've got to listen back to them to make the show better. That's I find that hard. But watching stuff back, like that very early video is tough.
Yeah.
but I think I'm okay.
But the current stuff?
I think so. But in 5 years, that will equally be embarrassing.
Of course.
Because hopefully it will
you
be.
Hope.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Dude, that's the thing with this pod. I just listen back to it every week. And I'm like, if they have to listen to it, I shall also.
Yeah, sure.
I think that would be unfair not to. But so wait, in Wales, started in Wales.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about Wales because Wales is weird.
Go on.
I mean, I don't want to get into any kind of specifics, but I was thinking about this. Well, if anyone sees me live, they will know that I have a joke where I make fun of Wales for about 2 minutes. Just cause. Like, it's one of those things, you know? Like, you make fun of something. I don't really care.
Sure.
But it's fun to do. I enjoy fucking with Wales.
It makes you happy.
And this is the thing. English people fucking love it. Scottish people love it. No one seems to have an issue with you making fun of Wales. Like, everyone's sure. Just kind of like, get stuck in, mate. Have a good time.
Have you done it in Wales?
I've done it with a bunch of Welsh people in, like at a Scottish gig.
Okay.
But not in Wales. I pussed out.
See, that was going to be my question.
I was at the Glee and I was like, I was opening. If I was in the middle, I think I probably would have gone for it.
Sure.
But opening, I was just like, ugh. Because I know you guys are known for being a bit defensive.
Do you think so?
That's what I've been told. But maybe not because I'm not English. And this is the thing I want to get at.
I think you could get away with it being an outsider who's not someone from a nationality which fucked the country up.
Well, this is what I mean. The country up. How do they fuck the country up? Because like Wales doesn't have that like narrative of the other UK countries, right? Like Scotland, you kind of got this brave heart. You got this like, we're fucking alcoholics in kilts. We're going to fight the English. And like Northern Ireland is obviously like all the stuff with the border and like, you know, the troubles and all that stuff.
Sure.
Whereas like the Wales narrative is not something that's being kind of captured on like a film. So like, I think a lot of people wouldn't really know anything about it.
I'm probably not as educated in it as I should be.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of sort of subjugation of like, you know, they tried to, you know, sort of the classic English rape and pillage, you know, but also like sort of taking a lot of land and resources and stuff.
Right.
And just sort of like, just basically kind of like just root, like, gutting the country
because it was mining.
So especially within South Wales, like where my dad's from and stuff, yeah. Like the valleys and things that, you know, the government in the 80s and stuff, just like,
was this Thatcher?
Thatcher,
yeah. Okay, yeah. So like that was part of the kind of working class mining area that Thatcher ravaged.
Yeah, absolutely. Which equally kind of in the north of England. So
yeah,
similar,
the same as in the north and
industrial
Scotland?
Town. I'm not sure, okay. Possibly, but
that's not
sort of industrial towns basically.
Yeah,
that were kind of like already suffering, and then kind of like got another kick in the dick.
Just got put to the sword.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think there's a film called Pride.
Pride.
Yeah, which kind of is of the era of anti-Thatcher demonstrations and stuff, but in terms of Welsh history and stuff, there's amazing. It's like the Tudors, like Henry VIII and stuff.
Yeah.
His dad was Welsh, so there's England and Wales has always been sort of slightly linked within that kind of like royalty type thing.
There has been that interconnection for like a long time.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
Like the Scottish, it seems to be like we were proudly apart.
Yeah.
And then they got kind of like bled in over time.
Yeah,
and now
exactly.
They're still kind of like, well, we could live.
Yeah. You know,
we could go.
You don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I've got a bag packed in the car. I could leave at any point.
And like inside every Scottish person's bagpipes is just like, just some supplies in case
sure.
They run away. Just
Swiss
like
a army knife.
Just like a kip and some drinking water.
Some
we could leave at any time, dude. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, I just think it doesn't kind of have as strong a... Not that it doesn't have the strong national narrative, but like as an Australian person,
sure,
I just haven't been exposed to it. Like there's no kind of Welsh celeb, like, you know, like Catherine Zeta-Jones. That's all I can think. And she's like half. I don't even know.
No, she's full. She's full Swansea.
Full Swansea?
Yeah, man. Anthony Hopkins.
Is Welsh?
Yeah, man.
Right.
Michael Sheen.
Who's Michael Sheen?
He was in Masters of Sex. He played Tina Fey's boyfriend in 30 Rock.
Oh,
good,
okay.
Actor.
Yeah, but like...
not as in kind of... I think he was dating Sarah Silverman for a while.
Oh.
Very good actor. And then there's sports people. Like, sporting heritage is quite a big thing. Like rugby.
Well, that's
things.
What I mean. Like, you're kind of well-known for the sport. Like, you guys...
Sure.
Yeah, in my head, you kind of remind me of... New Zealand a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah,
cause like,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And also a Canadian type thing. I think that's slight underdog.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of like noisy neighbor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's just like, I feel like with the Welsh, it's like, it's very tied to the sport. Like that's my main exposure, like through the kind of rugby and the football teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then like in terms of, you know, the fact that I got there and there was just the Welsh language written on the signs.
Yeah, man.
I was like, what is this? Why is this here?
See, that's so many stand-ups kind of, I remember sort of like when they went in, then they turned up to the Glee. I remember McIntyre having like a great routine about it, you know, and he used to come down. And for me, like, if you just grew up with it, that's fine. You were taught Welsh in school. I was taught in school to sort of GCSE level, sort of 14, 15.
Right.
Like, it's legally you have to.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't really speak it much. I'm trying to learn again on Duolingo at the moment.
Right. Is that because of your kid or your wife?
A little
or?
Bit. So, yeah. So, my wife used to teach in Wales. So, she used to teach the kids, like, teach kids Welsh quite a sort of like, you know, the basic sort of, you know, 6 and 7 year old level.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like my son to give him a Welsh name, but I think eventually we'll move back to Wales.
Eventually move back?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, just because both sets of grandparents are there.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And that's like, I'd love to stay in London.
Yeah.
But it's too fucking expensive.
It is very expensive. Most people, yeah, it's a smash and grab.
Yeah, found exactly. That,
especially like people from England and like just kind of around the UK, like less so the people who come across like me, but like they come in being like, it's 4 years.
Yeah,
we're going to go in. I'm going to get promoted. I'm going to take some cash. We're going to run the fuck back.
Yeah.
And like, that's it.
It's strange, isn't it? But I don't think I want to do the home counties thing. I don't think I want to do like the, I think if I'm moving out of like, cause at the moment I'm like half an hour from the center of London.
Sure.
Where we are. I think if I moved out to like, I don't know, Wimbledon or somewhere.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
still like an hour and a bit to get in. I'm 2 hours out of there in Cardiff. Like,
oh, I see.
It's
see
pretty
what
direct.
Mean.
I mean, like if I'm going to be away,
yeah.
if I'm going to be out of it.
I may as well go all the way.
I think so. And then be around family and stuff.
And you'd have space. Like Cardiff just has space. There'd be a backyard.
Exactly.
The wall would be.
The green
how
grass
high is the wall?
Home. How high is the, what do you mean?
The wall, the backyard wall. One of the things in the UK, you guys have like your backyards, your walls are very low.
Do you think so?
In Australia, like they're above my head. Like I'm 6'2". Most backyards, their walls would be about 6'4", 6'6".
I think I'm trying to think about my mum and dad's house. Probably 5'10". Like I could probably, if you were walking there, like your head would be over it.
Oh, if you could do the, you could do the,
but it's your
Tim Allen, Home Improvement,
yeah, yeah,
the neighbor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
okay.
That's it. That, I think that's it. It's so you can, it's that British sense of,
yeah.
That grass is a bit fucking long, Susan.
That's why you guys have the low walls.
Yeah, yeah, like, for sure. Like when we,
Matt, do you own a mower?
Yeah. When my mum and dad were looking at that place, it's like 97. Me and my brother ran into the back garden straight away and worked out our access routes to every garden across for when we inevitably kicked footballs over there. Like,
wow.
So we already snuck in on the fucking viewing. We knew exactly how to get in. That's going to break that. We'll apologize. That's going to break that.
Yeah, that's funny. In Australia, it's like you do a front door knock.
See, we did.
And then you're like, can you throw the ball back over?
But what if they're not in?
And then it comes over the fence and you cheer.
Sometimes we do that, but...
Yeah.
Well, where's the excitement, man?
Well, look, you couldn't get... Like, unless you did like a boost or something, you would struggle to get over.
True, this is the wall issue.
And as an only child, I had no boost.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
This is like the tragedy of my life.
Yeah.
Couldn't get over a wall, mate, you know? Genuine hardship.
This is
yeah.
why I'm the way I am.
Just like on the couch with my psychiatrist and they're like, do you sure you don't want to face away and talk? And I'm like, no, I'm sick of not being able to see over
there. can I have a boost?
But yeah, it's just funny because like with Wales, like even though I make fun of it and I kind of like, I like to always look things up when I'm making fun of it.
Sure.
I don't...
Informed racism.
Yeah. The best kind.
Yeah.
You want an accurate thing.
Sure.
Like one thing, this is like a dumb thing that I do, whereas like when people are doing stereotypes, I do like stereotypes that are hyper accurate.
Okay, that's
like,
nice.
But that only person from that would kind of get.
Sure.
It's like Indian people. It's like, oh, you must be good at hockey.
Is that...
Because they've won the most Olympic hockey gold medals of any country.
That's like...
You know? Because like everyone would be like, ugh, cricket, ugh, India. But like, no, actually, hockey, the number one.
It's like some Darren Brown racism.
Who's Darren Brown?
Shit. Sort of mind reader, magician, mentalist type guy. Quite famous over here.
Yeah.
Like sells out huge theatres.
That's one of the strangest things in the world to me. It's So this guy's magic. A mentalist.
Mentalist. Do you like magic?
No.
I was working on...
As a Welsh person, I assume you like magic.
There's that specific racism I've heard so much about. We love magic in Wales.
You know, it's like genuinely in my head, I'm like, he must. You got a fucking dragon on the flag.
It's a fantastical place, man. Some Tolkien-esque bullshit.
Guys, if you haven't been to Wales, yeah. Like everyone who works in the restaurants are elves. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, crossbows everywhere, yeah, man. It's that's great. It. That's
like
really funny.
The police pull you over and they take out their broadsword. Yeah. And they're like, don't move. This is what I mean. Like, it's,
I mean, you probably knew this, like, you know, Elvish in The Lord of the Rings and stuff. That was based on Welsh.
Yeah. That's why it's got that kind of New Zealand thing, you know? Like, you guys kind of created it and have a shot in New Zealand.
Sure.
Because New Zealand's like a more, you know, geographically diverse thing than Wales. But then, like, I haven't even been up the north of the Wales.
Man, within like an hour of Cardiff, you've got like decent beaches. I mean, not to your kind of,
but like, I mean, just the fact, like a beach.
Sure.
That's absurd.
Decent beaches, and you've got like National Park, like in Brecon, then like slightly further. Yeah. Have you done Macuntlath Comedy Festival?
No.
Man, it's fucking beautiful. Like this really quaint little like village, hamlet.
This is what I mean. Yeah. It's like people are talking about this festival. It's like this big comedy festival, basically huge names go.
Yeah.
And it's so on, like a one street village town in Wales. And the thing is, like, the only thing that stops people doing is getting there. Everyone's like, how the fuck?
Yeah.
Apart from driving, can you
it's
get
like,
to this
It's
town?
Like a 7-hour drive from London, pretty much. Or you get a train to Birmingham.
Yeah.
A train then to Shrewsbury. And then another one to Macunthorpe. Yeah.
There you go. But this is what I mean. It's like this kind of, it's got this kind of whimsy attached.
Sure.
And I guess the thing that interests me is like, do you, I mean, obviously giving it to you in this setting because it's a podcast and I like making fun of people.
Go on.
But in an actual setting, does it happen? Like in a professional setting, is it ever like, oh, look at the Welsh boy. Robin, we need something uplifting here. Can you just say any sentence in your accent?
If I had the fucking accent, then maybe. Like I always think, like, Ellis James, I think, is such a wonderful act.
Right.
Like, and I think, you know, he's very sort of like amazing joke writer, but sort of very story driven and stuff, and we're kind of like quite anecdotal and stuff, and like in his beautiful sort of Carmarthenshire accent would be kind of like, yeah, like he's sort of spinning a yarn, is that the phrase?
Spinning a yarn, absolutely.
Spinning a yarn, yeah.
That's very Australian.
Very good yarn spinner. I think gig wise, I've always found saying that I'm Welsh, and then I had to write a joke about why I don't sound it, which is fine.
Yeah.
But that is in certain places gave me more of an identity than just being another Southern British white man.
Sure.
But also in more Northern places where it's like, oh, look at this Southern punts. Like Manchester Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Notoriously quite difficult for Southern acts because they make you work.
Right.
What I've heard anyway.
Yeah, but like...
So if you say, hey, I'm from Wales, like, oh, okay, you're not what we thought you were. we'll give you an extra 5 seconds.
Yeah, because you might be tough.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, clearly not, but I mean, sort of like, just, it's something
different.
He might
cast a magic spell on us.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, I feel like it's not something that I'm just sort of saying to try and give myself, like, a different edge. Like, I lived there for 25 years. Like, I feel like it's something that...
But I guess I'm more like, do you think if you say you're Welsh, there's immediately, like, 17 assumptions about you as a human being?
No, I don't feel that, but maybe that's because I don't sound Welsh.
Right.
Or maybe because I'm from a relatively metropolitan area of Wales.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was from like the valleys, like my dad is.
Right.
I think more people would assume that.
Got an extra finger.
Pretty much. I mean, you could say that about sort of relative areas of like.
Well, yeah.
North Wales, Mid Wales, West
Wales. UK loves a good, oh man, they all fuck each other there.
Yeah.
That's like a weird. Now that's like a favorite stereotype, I think, of the UK. Sure. It's like, it's very inbred.
I think sheep is the Welsh thing. Like, I still get fucking bar noises
when I say I'm from Wales. It's weird.
Which is such a 70s heckle. Like, it's so old school.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I like to think my stuff is much more up to date.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, this is the thing, because, like, I was talking to Mark Nelson about this when we had him on, about like the Scottish thing, where it's like, I think as a Scottish person, you're almost expected to be harsh. Like, if you're like a very warm, like Scottish act, people would think they're being tricked or like not getting their money's worth.
Sure.
You know?
I'm trying to think if
it's like no one's called me a cunt.
Yeah.
Like this is weird. Why isn't he talking about fighting and stabbing and, you know?
Yeah. Being quite sort of just dour.
Yeah. Whereas like with the Welsh thing, like,
do you think it's more chirpy and uplifting? And
Yeah, it's like kind of like you expect a wholesomeness.
Like, that's interesting.
Not that you can't then subvert it, but like I think that's interesting, like just kind of getting that. Like when I make fun of the Welsh doing the Wales joke, like initially it's this kind of this thing like, don't make fun of them. They're so simple.
Sure.
They couldn't possibly defend themselves against this vicious attack.
Okay.
Whereas like if you know, the Scottish is just like, I wouldn't say that, they're gonna kill you.
That's interesting.
And then like Northern Ireland, it's like they kind of kill you, but like with that historical
Dude,
I don't know if you know, but there's like some shit there.
Like legit.
Have you seen The Crying Game? Like it's fucking real. Like, you know? Like that's the thing.
Would you say that's a similar thing for Kiwi comics? Would you say there's a similar kind of sort of like sort of quirky is a fucking horrible word, but you know what I mean?
Quaint?
Quaint, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but I think with New Zealand, like, I don't think Australia and New Zealand kind of have the same level of separation as England and Wales.
Okay.
Whereas, they probably mind more than us, but at the same time, I don't think New Zealand has a strong enough national identity to really make an Australian think like that.
Okay.
Whereas, like, in the UK, obviously people have a very good understanding of the Welsh because they're, like, right next door and, like, they've heard stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of more put on
them. They've heard rumors.
Heard rumors involving sheep.
Sure.
That's such a lazy stereotype because New Zealanders get that as well.
Yeah, big time.
And it's just like, really? That's all you got?
Yeah, weirdly.
Like, you've had this many years of rivalry. Just like, you completely fucked our economy and took all our resources. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you fuck sheep.
Good one.
Touche. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it was just funny because, like, I mean, you obviously, as a human being, at least in my opinion, are a very lovely person.
That's very sweet of you.
And, you know, it's a bit of a chicken and egg thing.
Sure.
Would you be this bloody nice if you weren't Welsh? Or
I don't know, man. I think...
have you ever met a mean Welshman?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There are some thick as shit, awful people there.
Yeah.
But I was lucky in, I think, in my childhood that, you know, sure I got bullied, Dan. Sure I did. Of course I fucking did. This is why we're here. But, you know, I had a pretty decent upbringing and stuff.
Yeah. But no, it is just interesting because, like, yeah, I guess in my head it's like Scottish people kind of have like Groundskeeper Willie on The Simpsons, you know? Like that's your kind of global drip feed of culture.
Do you think it's because the Welsh exports to Hollywood aren't as... I remember in Family Guy, there was a... Stewie says he runs like a Welshman, doesn't he? He runs like a Welshman. Which is like shit racism.
Yeah,
because I don't even understand
the context of that joke.
But I think it's contextless. I think it's right. Stupid and
right. It's just like you don't actually know any stereotypes about the Welsh.
Absolutely. But I wonder whether the Welsh exports into Hollywood and films and things. Like you wouldn't know. Like Hopkins has lived in LA for whatever. But I don't think you'd necessarily know. Most famous Welsh people, poet Dylan Thomas.
Right.
Poet.
No, nothing.
Ryan Giggs, Gareth Bale. Probably now.
Footballers, yeah. But.
Aniron Bevan, creator of the NHS. So it's quite sort of specific, isn't
it? Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not saying like, you know, Welsh people haven't done anything. It's just like, they're just not kind of like, they probably don't pin it to themselves. Like, sure. I'm fucking Welsh. Like.
I wonder the amount of Welsh, because obviously, a lot of Irish people moved over to the States.
Yeah.
I wonder the numbers. I don't actually know. You know, like in that kind of right, similar kind of like...
How many Welsh went well. Yeah,
and whether that's impacted it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the one thing with the Irish would have been the distinction because they're also Catholic.
Sure.
So like that would have been like the Irish are coming in with their Catholicism, where majority like Protestant, whereas like the Welsh would be coming, in the same kind of church.
That's a good point.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen Gangs of New York.
Sure.
I get it.
Yeah. I can dig it. I've seen this documentary called...
That is my favorite thing with like just people when they're from a country. I just name some TV show or film from that country and I'm like, I totally get your experience.
I've seen Summer High Tide. I know what's going on.
Exactly, yeah. It's so much fun because like they find it funny and everyone else thinks you're an asshole.
Yeah.
No, we get it. We know what's going on here. But yeah, it's just... It's interesting, like your wife, what does she do?
She's a teacher. She's a primary school teacher.
Primary school teacher. Yeah. And you got a son.
I've got a nearly 2-year-old son.
That's what I mean. Your life's so wholesome. It makes me.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, we've been together for 10 years next year.
Yeah.
Married for a few months, but...
I think I was fucking bang on about this Christian thing. The more facts you put into
honestly,
it...
Honestly, no one has ever said that, but it is fucking bang on, isn't it? I used to have a joke when I started out, because I looked a lot older than... I think I've kind of like grown into my age, like face-wise now. I think I look probably 29.
Yeah, I would say so.
Thank you.
We can post video. We can post photo evidence.
I would like that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
But when I was starting out, I think I looked a lot older. So I would always say, like, I think I looked like a 29-year-old German man, and I was like 23. And it kind of like sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Yeah.
Or like different glasses. I look like Edward Snowden glasses.
Oh yeah. I get
so
you.
So it's quite sort of like that kind of Northern European type face. But the Christian thing.
Christian.
Yeah, man.
Well, it's just like that Christian, you just got the Christian energy.
Yeah.
You got the Christian CV. You sure. Got it all.
Never christened, man.
Never christened?
Never christened. No religious upbringing whatsoever.
How big's the religion in Wales? Is there much game?
Yeah, so much. God's there, man. God's in all of us. I don't know. I think my wife was christened. Our son's not christened. Like, we don't believe in it. I think... my wife's grandmother's Catholic.
But just like, is there much of a Catholic Protestant divide? Like, I know, like, not, Scotland's like that, man, Ireland's like that.
Not that I'm aware of, but right. I'm probably the wrong person not to ask, because I didn't really kind of like...
Yeah, sure.
Like, I think I've only been in churches for piano recitals.
Hey!
Or christenings, weddings, funerals, kind
right.
of stuff.
The standard.
Yeah, the classics.
The classic church going around.
Yeah.
Did you get married in a church?
No.
Why not?
We're not religious, and it just didn't. I didn't want to have to lie to a man of the cloth.
I see.
We got married in sort of City Hall, like registry office.
Oh, right.
And then we went to a place called the Norwegian Church, which is like
the Norwegian Church.
It's like a little art center in Cardiff Bay, right near the Glee, actually.
Right. Okay.
Where Roald Dahl, the famous author and anti-Semite, was christened.
Hey.
So a really nice little art center and stuff. It's where we sort of like we went when we were like dating and stuff.
Okay, cool.
So we had like the main bit there, like the food, the speeches, and the dancing.
And in Cardiff Bay, I remember. See, you know, I try to stay on top of this stuff.
Mm.
It used to be a very industrial bay.
Yeah, man, just like mud flats completely, and then like
entirely redeveloped into like a leisure world.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
A really big one.
So like 20 years ago, I think they started to pump a lot of money into it and stuff. And I think apparently they were really shady deals, sort of like
right.
About how planning permission was kind of approved and stuff.
It was a bit shaky.
I think so. It's similar to how I imagine Canary Wharf in London, like Olympic stuff would have been, but like on a Welsh scale. but it's nice, man. And like they built loads of flats there. Me and Jen, like that's where we first lived together and stuff.
Yeah.
Worked there at the Glee. Yeah, it's a nice little like bit of history there. So no, we didn't get married in a church. Our son's not going to get christened.
Yeah.
I just don't think, like, yeah, it's just not important to us.
Well, like, in Australia, there's a lot of weddings outdoors because we have the weather for it. You know? Like, that's kind of like the vibe. Whereas I'm anti wedding outdoor.
In Australia, do you have to have... so we looked into getting married outdoors.
Ah.
But legally, you have to have some sort of construction, like... You know those kind of things in films where you've got, like, a sort of a bit... Like, two beams and a kind of, like, a semicircle.
Like a...
I'm trying to think of the word.
Like a flying buttress? That's kind of like the architectural thing.
Kind of yeah. Shape. Basically some sort of...
Yeah. What is that? That's going to fucking drive
some
me
sort
insane.
Of fixture. Yeah. I don't know why, but legally you have to
do that. You need
that
to stand in front of. So you know where to stand.
Yeah,
otherwise the wedding's
exactly.
chaos.
Yeah, man. Otherwise you're over there. You're
yelling just, across the garden.
You're screaming your vows
do
there.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Oh, is it I do what I will here? With the vows.
It's not I do, because it's not films. Yeah, it's I will.
I will. Yeah, I thought that was very confronting the first time I saw that. It's like, I will. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, because...
I've seen this so many times on film.
Well, this is it. Like, how old are you?
29.
29, same. When's your birthday?
29th of May.
19th of August.
You've achieved
30th.
You've achieved so much more.
But what was my question going to be? I think our generation has kind of been like slightly lied to with sort of friends and things.
Yeah,
like all those big life events that we've seen growing up.
I love that you put friends as your point of reference, and I'm like, yeah, That's actually a fair way
of finding stuff out.
So,
like, over here, like, Friends was just, like, on repeat constantly.
Dude, it is, yeah. Friends is,
same
like...
Same as us?
Friends is, like, the backing track to a middle-class white house.
Sure.
Like, that's just in the background.
Yeah, you just kind of hear
Friends. You're like,
Well, this is Thanksgiving again.
this is the one with the life lesson.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's just... It's in the back. But you guys don't really get Seinfeld here, which I find weird.
No, I've... only watched bits of it.
Yeah, and then you were surprised now that you're getting accused of anti-Semitism. You don't have kids growing up with Seinfeld. How are they going to learn?
I think, yeah, like, the exports that we had over here, like, I think for my generation, probably, yeah, for sure, Friends, but I can't think of any other kind of family guy.
Malcolm in the Middle?
So, BBC Two, yeah. Fridays, Simpsons, Malcolm in the Middle, Robot Wars.
Ah.
Fucking amazing.
Robot Wars. I never got into that.
Man.
That was just...
too cool.
I was too busy... Chasing girls. Cool to watch that, but not cool enough to get laid.
Sure, okay. And a happy medium.
We call that a sexually responsible middle ground.
Yeah, man. So yeah, Simpsons, Malcolm Middle.
Right.
Must have been some
But now...
Shit.
But you do a bit of writing now. You've gone into the TVs.
Yes, it was never a... like a plan, quite accidental.
Yeah,
to sort of start writing. So, but I answered this when I was back in Wales. There was an audition for a panel show, Radio Wales panel show, and they needed I thought they wanted new people to audition for it.
Yeah,
as panelists, I was like, okay, I've been going like a year and a half. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do satire.
Yeah,
I did that. Went fine. They asked me to write on it, and then I just started to go, oh, okay, this is.
Yeah,
more money than more the gigs I was getting,
and you have a day thing.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah. And like, I was only working in a bar, like the Glee.
Yeah,
and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that was like just paying my rent.
Right.
So it was great. Like, I had all that time to essentially write and do other stuff, as opposed to what I did do, which is just drinking the day. Yeah, man.
You used to get on it.
A little bit, daytime. Yeah. I think basically all my friends from school, we all graduated, and none of us really went into proper jobs.
That's interesting. None of you?
Maybe one of us.
You didn't have like an adult in the group?
At certain points, yeah, but then they sort of phased in and out. So there was one doing law, but then he dropped out, and then he's doing it again now. So right. We all had that. Basically, we called it the Glee graduation scheme, where I became the bar manager after. So I was hiring all my friends to work at the bar. So we had this kind of weird sort of like gap year or two.
Yeah.
We were just...
All just
apologies
at the bar.
To my boss at the time. We were just getting shit-faced.
Yeah, like, as you would. You guys have a very interesting bar policy here. Like... You guys drink a lot more behind the bar than I've seen, like, in Australia.
I think it's illegal.
But I've definitely like seen that. And the other thing is, you guys have a very casual approach to actually getting someone a drink. That's been my main thing in the UK. Like, in Australia, you're at the bar, like, people just are running over to you. What do you want? Whereas like in the UK, it's just like, sorry, we're having a chat back here. We see you. We'll cover this eventually.
Oh, what, the bar staff?
Yeah.
And okay.
It drives me... a little crazy sometimes.
Sure. I'm sure that it drives me crazy, but equally I probably would have been that person at some point.
But then I learned what the wage was here, like per hour to work in a bar.
Yeah.
And like, there's no tips really. Like, it's like, fuck all.
No.
And I'm like, well, okay, fair enough. Don't take it too seriously.
Do the bare minimum.
Because in Australia, it's like $21 an hour.
Which in pounds is what?
13, 14.
Oh, fuck.
An hour. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I should move there.
But we, you know, you can't just chill out with your boys drinking behind the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to fucking turn up, mate.
Yeah.
Pull those beers. Yeah. He's a regular. Have it ready before he gets to the bar.
I am. They did like these sort of 4-pint pitchers of lager and stuff.
I've seen those. They are. Because in Australia, a jug is 3 schooners.
Oh, sure.
So like,
which is 1,500 litres? 1,500 millilitres?
Like less, like 1,200.
Okay.
And like, then you see like these 4-pint pitchers here, and you're like, "What the fuck is that? You could drown a baby in there."
Yeah.
They're massive.
It's so they're for the interval bar thing. They just like, yeah, we'll just get people to, we'll panic people. The bar's gonna close, and then you see these like fucking big valleys blokes holding 3 at a time.
It's like, Jesus.
But whenever I go back to that place and perform now, I still see like, There's a nice trick where you can like just pour one, just serve someone else, and you get really into the bar work.
Yeah.
And all the new fucking stupid bar staff would just like wait there watching it, or there'd be loads overflowing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I was saying goodbye to all the bar staff that still work there. And I was like knocking these pints off and stuff, just like still serving people. I was like, oh my god, I'm a double threat.
I've still got it.
Yeah, man.
I've still got this in the tank. Wait, so with the writing, you started through BBC Wales.
Yeah, Radio Wales.
Radio Wales.
Yeah.
And there's also BBC Wales.
BBC Wales. So Radio Wales is a part of BBC Wales, but okay. The radio stuff is...
Because this like... I know, again, this is like my ignorance.
Yeah.
This blew my mind when I first did a gig in Wales. Where this guy's like, yeah, I've been on TV a bunch of times.
Welsh language stuff.
Welsh language TV.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? what are you talking about? It's we got Welsh language programming and they need comedians who can speak Welsh, and there's like not many.
No, man, there's not many at all. But
it seems like a completely distinct thing to hear, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, if you get on BBC Wales Welsh language speaking, it's in no way going to help you get on BBC
England, it's completely separate, and it would be, so S4C is the Welsh channel, the Welsh speaking channel.
Yeah.
So there's BBC One Wales, there's BBC Two Wales, and they have English speaking Welsh tailored programming.
What?
Does that make sense?
So they speak English, but it's like set in Swansea.
It's the regional news for Wales, English speaking. But then there's Welsh language programming.
Yeah. Is the weather in Wales by each town, or is it just the weather for Wales is X? Because
town.
Mark Nelson was saying that in Scotland, it is just all of Scotland gets one weather report.
Oh, what, on the UK news?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, so you'd probably have Cardiff, and then you'd have something. No, because you definitely get, I think, two temperatures, perhaps
surely.
Three.
Yeah, I would assume he's just like saying like, no, of course that's how it works. I'm like, of course.
Yeah.
What are they skimping on the numbers for? How much does it cost to put a number up?
Yeah, or like, yeah, there's like three or four, probably, I'd say like certain ones, five clouds.
Five clouds?
Yeah, I think so. But like London would have what, one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different size-wise, but like Wales has a population of 3 million, London has seven.
Yeah, I found the Welsh population, that's lower than I thought it was.
Yeah.
I think.
It's because there's so much like just green, empty space.
Yeah, but... Do you think a lot of people do leave Wales, or do you think it's quite parochial in the sense that people stay?
I think...
If they leave, they come back. Like, it's one of those things where you'd want to...
I don't know. I think rurally, I think you stay. Like, yeah. Some of my good friends, she was born near my comfort in this village called Carno. Dad's a farmer. So she studied acting, moved to Cardiff for a little bit. That was her kind of, like, big city move, as opposed to, like, mine was... Cardiff to London, that was like moving to the city.
Sure.
Her moving to Cardiff was like a big thing. And now she's back there and like running this kind of like B&B type thing.
Gotcha.
I think there's a big sort of family vibe rurally.
Is there still industry? Like, I know that obviously the mining and the... Was it coal that you had?
Yeah, coal, steel.
Like, that's pretty much done.
I think so.
But like rurally, there's still an industry? Like
farming's quite big, wool? Yeah, I think so.
Cows? Do you do much beef farming?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like... Lamb is the Welsh thing.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, yeah, Welsh beef is quite, we're just loads of fucking animals, mate. I think sort of that is quite a big export and stuff, what they're trying to do anyway.
Well, I mean, because there's been this like Aberdeen steak, like Aberdeen Angus steak. Or whatever, and you're like, whatever, sure, Scotland can take steak now, great.
Sure.
But there's just not...
Take that, Argentina.
Yeah, I've found... The number of cows in the UK is surprisingly low. Like in Australia, if you're driving around, there's quite a lot of cows. Like, whereas in the UK, it's like 90% sheep.
That's interesting.
Like, and I didn't know if there was like some quite strict regulations about cow farming, just because like, I think Mad Cow originated BSC. Here.
Yeah. Well, I think I was like fucking 10 when that happened, but like...
Yeah, me too. Like, do you know the thing? We're just like, there's mad cow disease. You know,
I seem to remember there being some sort of blame against the French. Just probably that's a very British thing. Like, it's probably some fucking French cow.
Yeah, just some ambiguous like meh.
Yeah, meh.
Yeah, it's just, I just noticed that and I'm like...
Yeah, I wonder.
The Welsh obviously thing. With the sheep shag and... stereotype.
Yeah.
You got to assume there's a lot of wool exports, but like maybe that's not even current. Because New Zealand, there's still a lot of wool. Like,
yeah,
still
I'd imagine so.
Part of the economy.
I'd imagine so. I think natural resources, there must still be quite a lot of... yeah, must be. But
must be around.
Man, I'm in the joke industry.
I'm not involved in that. But yeah. I guess, like, could you sustain a career in Wales? Not that, like, you'd need to or whatever, but just, like...
Yes, but I'd be travelling more.
Okay.
I think for what I want to do now, like, gig-wise, I mean, you still fucking drive everywhere doing this job.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I think writing-wise, at the moment, the jobs I'm doing are either on location in London-based offices or TV studios based around London.
Sure.
So I'd still have to, at the point, like, and sure, I'm sure at some point I could go, can I just write remotely? And I do write remotely for some of them, which is just at home and I can do that anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think it's weird how you hear stories of people that move out of London, but their agents don't tell anyone that they've moved out of London.
Sure.
So it seems like a secret. Oh, no, they're still there.
Yeah. No, they're still in the game.
Yeah. I think it's weirdly like a... not a resignation, but kind of...
Well, people see it as like a loss of hunger.
Yeah, I think so. Like, which is not... so bizarre.
Yeah.
Because I think you can still do well in this job and have the other stuff.
Yeah.
I think, so, you know, obviously you can't say yes to everything. And the person who's gigging 8-9 times a week is going to get better at comedy, you'd imagine, than somebody doing it once or twice a week.
Sure.
But I think it's a weird thing that hopefully the industry is trying to sort of like change. You know, like Channel 4, big broadcasters moving to Leeds and things. Like, hopefully it's getting less London-centric.
Yeah, I've heard they're actively trying to get it out. And I was just wondering if, like, with Wales, like, is that kind of always been there? Like, the Welsh's own programming?
Yeah, for sure. And in Scotland and Northern Ireland and stuff. And the BBC's been really, you know, I think as part of its remit, being like a public service broadcaster, has to kind of, like, do that. And I think, hopefully... I'd like to live in Wales again, I think.
Right.
But I change my mind about once a week.
Just not sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's nice to, like, I don't know, my parents aren't getting any younger. I need to fucking go back and put them in a home and see them. You know?
I'm going to put them in a home, take their home, and then see them in
that,
the other home.
That's the millennial dream, right?
That's it, dude.
I mean, my dad's always been very, like, very open about it. Just, like, choose a nice home for us.
Like, look, we know you're going to put us in one.
Make sure. Just don't be a cunt about it.
Yeah. Don't, you know, skip some costs so you can have a swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Choose three of the extras.
Does anyone have swimming pools here? Like, I don't know if I've ever
seen
it.
Super rich people would.
Like, a pool in the backyard. Because in Australia, it's not far-fetched.
No, so you'd have to be a real piece of work to have a pool, I think.
Just, like, really absurd.
Hot tubs.
Because this is my... Sure. Yeah. Because, like, you guys have, like, beaches and stuff in Wales, but, like, can everyone swim? Like, is that even a thing?
That's like Family Guy-esque. Welsh people, you swim like a Welshman. Yeah, I'd say so. I can swim, and I'm speaking for all of Wales. Yeah,
you're Welsh is representative today.
Absolutely.
Wales representative.
100%.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the majority, probably the same amount as in England. Probably.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just mean in the UK more broadly.
I'd say so. We had, like, swimming lessons in school and stuff.
Yeah, because in Australia you do have to do, like, a fair bit. And I'm just like, I figure because it's just, you might get caught in a rip. Like, it might just be something that happens.
Yeah, that's interesting.
In your life. So it's like, you better be on top of this.
Who was it? My granddad couldn't swim. He's born in South Africa. I think.
Right.
He couldn't swim. And that blew my mind as a kid. It was like, but you're old. You know things.
Didn't you have to travel places on a ship?
Yeah, right, exactly. You fucking did, man.
Can you imagine just, like, being on a boat for a long time and just not being able to swim at all?
Yeah.
So you're just like, I'm fucked. That'd be like, you'd have the same fear of, like, shipping as you would have flying.
Especially, like, sort of 10 years after the Titanic and stuff. Like, that must have been, like, pretty 24-hour news.
The 24-hour news cycle back in the day. It's just like one dude.
Still down there.
Yeah. Guys, we haven't received any word yet.
Yeah.
We've sent another ship. It'll take two, three weeks to reach the point.
Same as before.
Titanic sunk. Right now, it is no ship.
Yeah. Have they launched that second one? Is that happening, Titanic 2?
Titanic 2?
Weren't they going to recreate exactly the same course?
Well, like Marvel fucking built the ship, and it's like, we're going to send this out for a sequel.
Yeah, pretty much.
We love a sequel. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there was. See, this is the kind of authenticity I wanted you to bring to the podcast. Just like, yeah, I heard of that big ship they're building.
Yeah.
Nah, not really, but sure. Whatever, man.
Just nautical gossip.
Yeah. Just like everyone in Wales hangs out at a pier.
Mate, we love that shit.
Yeah. Well, no, it's it's just funny because, like, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, it is kind of mysterious, like the Welsh thing to me.
Mm.
And like, then I think that having your own language adds an extra level of intrigue.
Sure.
Because like, Welsh is the only language that is on the signs in the UK. Like in Scotland, there's no Gaelic on the signs that I've ever seen.
I don't think so. Northern Ireland? I'm not sure.
I know in Ireland they have Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a similar kind of thing, I think. I don't know.
But has there been more of a push to learn it?
So just as I left school, the Welsh government were really putting money into kind of, they were trying to get sort of like the Welsh celebrities of their day to sort of, I remember these adverts, it's like, I'm learning Welsh. and trying to make it. And I think in the media and in kind of like my industry, I think if you can speak both, it would benefit you hugely. Like to work in TV or radio, if you were bilingual,
right?
You'd definitely be given a head start.
I love that in my head when you said bilingual, I was like, Welsh and English doesn't count as bilingual.
Sure.
That was just like my, like, I know how fucked that is. Like, it is just, that is dead wrong. But like, in my head, I'm like, that's not bilingual.
I think, like, for me growing up, bilingual, like, pretty much meant Welsh. English and Welsh. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, we just...
Fuck German.
That's what I fucking study. Yeah. That's how white I am. Studied German living in Australia. Good one, Dan.
Yeah. I studied German.
Going to come in handy.
I had to choose between French or German, and I hated the lady who taught French, whose son I now know.
Ooh, I know. Spicy. Gossip. Spicy gossip.
I know.
You know what's not spicy? Every food in Germany. No spice at all.
Nice cheese guy.
Yeah. Well, sorry. And the other, just on the writing thing, you've written a couple of your own things.
Yes.
Recently. So, you've had some, two pilots?
So one pilot of a sitcom this year, and then... Last year, I had my first Edinburgh show got turned into a stand-up show on Radio Wales, and then they also commissioned a pilot of a different sitcom, which then this year was turned into a four-part series.
Right.
So this year, the pilot of this other sitcom, this one set in a care home, has been out.
Yeah.
And then we recorded that was an audience thing, and then this four-part thing we recorded in a studio 2 months ago, and it'll be out in March, I think.
Okay, that's cool. Can you just watch that online?
Radio.
Oh, of course. So you guys do this weird radio.
Yeah, so it's...
I've never seen anything like that in my life. It's just like, yeah, we debut things on radio, and then if they go away, put them on TV.
It's always kind of been the case here, weirdly, and I think now they're kind of branching out like, okay, so we'll give you some money for a podcast, and then if it goes well, we'll put it on radio. And I think just because it was so much easier to make stuff.
So much cheaper. Yeah.
So much cheaper, and you can get stuff away. It can harness new talent. I think it's kind of, it's away from prying eyes. And I think, well, literally, but like, I think for Radio Wales was so amazing because like loads of the Radio 4 writers at the moment,
yeah,
they're all, the Welsh alumni there is amazing because Radio Wales gives you such a support that you can kind of learn how to get good at it. And the listenership's not crazy.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like...
It's a good cocoon.
Yeah. You get good away from kind of
the pressure and all that stuff. Yeah, that's nice. That would be a nice thing, like just kind of developing, because like especially like as a comic, you get to be shit in Wales for a bit.
Yeah.
And then when you get your shit together, you come to London, everyone's so impressed.
See, I didn't realize that was a thing, but yeah, my agent, when I first had the meeting, she was like, yeah, it's good that you've kind of like, we're like, who's this guy? Where's he come from? Whereas I think, I wonder whether I'd still be doing this if I started in London.
Well, it's hard in like a big scene, like to move up.
It's so bleak.
To move up is very difficult.
Like, well, I moved here, I got lucky. And do you know Ian Moore, the stand-up? He lives in the south of France.
Lives in the south of France?
Yeah, man. Okay. His joke is that it's the cheapest place he could afford close to London. he's a fucking great stand-up, and we did a Birmingham Glee weekend just before I moved to London, and he emailed loads of promoters basically saying, this guy Robin's great, you should book him for your gig. So like, which is really sweet of him and genuinely helped me out hugely. So when I moved, I had all these like open spots in at, you know, the backyards and
just all your garden, all your weekend clubs
pretty much in London, which meant I didn't have to kind of do the
open mic crunching grinds.
Fucking like 6 days a week, which I didn't want to do because I'd done that already.
Yeah.
But it's a different ladder.
No, definitely, because like, they don't care about the other ladder.
No, for
you can,
sure.
You can be on top of another ladder and then like you go to the new one and then it's like, mate, fucking start.
Yeah, absolutely. But it just seems, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair play to anyone who did it.
I was going to ask about the sitcoms.
Yeah.
Are they set in England or Wales?
In Wales.
Was that a requirement because they came through BBC Wales?
I wonder. No, it definitely wasn't a requirement. I mean, one of them is in a care home in Cardiff, which is where my nan was for 5 years. So it was always kind of going to be based around there. But I don't think Wales is necessarily important to it. Like it could be.
Would it annoy you to if they were like, look, we love it, but we're going to set it in Birmingham?
No, fuck that, man. I'll take the money. Fuck that. And the other one is a London couple get put into witness relocation in the Welsh Valleys.
Right.
So that's more, and I set it in the town where my dad was born.
Gotcha.
So there's kind of like...
So they're both autobiographical.
Yeah,
in,
for sure.
In their own way.
Oh God, I can't think of anything.
Oh man, me neither. That's the thing. People are like, do you reckon that comedian made up that story? And I'm like, well, fuck, if he did, it's more imaginative than
yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I was just wondering, because like, obviously... You've lived here for what, 4 years?
Yeah.
So, you know, you could easily set it here. Like, I don't think anyone would be like, that's not what London is like.
Yeah.
There's not that many sheep near Old Street. You know?
This guy's crazy. I think that there definitely seems to be an excitement for commissioning things that aren't based in London.
Like, sure.
Three housemates hanging out in London. It's come on.
I can't believe I got to rewrite my pilot.
Yeah. Three sheep hanging out in London.
But just with that, do you have to then cast Welsh actors and actresses?
The casting is kind of slightly outside of my remit. Like for certain ones, I had people in mind that I wanted to play certain roles.
Yeah.
And if it's in Wales, it would be handy. Like the care home one was in Cardiff, which is, the one was my nan from the valleys. So she had to sound quite sort of South Welsh. Everyone else could be, you know, don't give a shit where they're from.
Do people learn a Welsh accent? Like as an English Scottish actor, you got to, Welsh?
You can really hear shit Welsh accents.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So you sort of like...
Can you turn yours up? Is that something, do you kind of know...
It kind of just goes a bit...
How to put on a Welsh accent? Because I catch myself putting on an Australian one on this podcast more than I ever do.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the rest of my life.
So it just goes quite sort of like Tom Jones Welsh. I'm from the green grass of home. Type stuff. Is that all right? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the turned up one. Like, it's not natural.
Bloody hell. Yeah.
That's what Jesus. I find. If you've got that neutral accent and you try and do the accent where you're from.
Yeah.
It's a very unnatural, like it's a put on accent.
Like, yeah, I just do, that's just my dad, really.
Yeah. You just do your dad?
Yeah, pretty much.
But like, so is there like enough Welsh actors and actresses to like,
I think so. I think there's quite a big, because there's a few acting schools. Like,
right. So that's like not a problem. Is that something there?
Oh God, no, absolutely not. And I think the weird thing is it's finding people who are based in Cardiff or they've got to, whether it's recorded. So one of them was, the audience one was recorded in London. So everyone came down from Cardiff, but equally we could have got a different set of actors that lived in London.
Or Welsh, but
yeah. Yeah. So it's quite a big cultural, I think, from sort of performing and singing and, you know, acting, it's quite a big kind of creative industry there, I think.
Well, no, just like, I find it funny because like one of the things with Australia and New Zealand is like New Zealand almost has more of a presence in that world being from New Zealand than Australia does, like with Australian actors.
Sure.
I can explain that better. Like in New Zealand, you got like Taika Waititi, who's like doing really cool things now and giving it a very New Zealand flavor.
Mm.
Like even though like in the last one, it was like Sam Neill, who's Australian, playing a New Zealand guy.
Sure.
But like that had a more international presence and a more New Zealand feel than say Australians when they play, because when Australians act, they act American.
Right.
Like they very rarely speak in their natural accent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hugh Jackman, Nicole Kidman.
Gibson. Yeah.
You know, the Hemsworths. They're not just going up there being like, true. Hey, man, how you going? Whereas like New Zealand, it's like we kind of want a person from New Zealand to be very New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny with the Wales thing. It's like, well, I mean, some characters you'd want to have the big accent, but otherwise, like, whatever.
Yeah, I think Ruth Jones, the Welsh actor, she it was in Gavin and Stacey. And
right.
So she wrote that and was in it. I remember her, she did this, and in a very kind of like South Welsh rough accent her character had. She was on that show Loose Women, you know, like the sort of the chat, the daytime chat show.
Yeah,
it's kind of like The View.
Yeah, gotcha.
And one of the, I think Jamila Jamil, which is a fucking British reference, said like, why aren't you speaking how you normally speak? And she's like, it's not my, I speak like this. I'm acting in that. So I don't think a Scottish person would get that.
Right. Yeah. 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 They're just like, why aren't you?
Yeah. I think certain people think that Welsh people are a bit, there was always a Welsh character in a sitcom would have been the simple one.
Yeah, so there is that.
I think so, yeah.
There is that.
Certainly in the 90s. Connotation. Yeah, 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 definitely.
Whereas like now it's like, no, we're just like a Welsh.
We're
dude.
Humans as well. Like, yeah.
You don't need to be Welsh to be, you don't need to be really Welsh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just like, I would love an Australian thing where it's just like an Australian guy and you can't really tell.
Sure. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like, is that guy an Australian in the show? It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Move on.
It's just more the realism's there, isn't it? But I think it's TV is, you know, it needs to be watered down, doesn't it? To kind of where, like, I know what that person is. That person is a simple Welshman. I can comprehend that.
Look at him. Yeah. He's holding a rugby ball and a shave.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the simple Welshman.
God, look at that leak.
Man, we're done.
Hey, that was a joy.
This is all we had.
Thanks, man.
Could have gone longer.
I know, man.
Could have gone easier.
But we've got to go do gigs.
Yeah, could have spun many a yarn. Is there anywhere people can find you? Have you got anything coming out? I know you've mentioned stuff, but you can be more specific if you would like.
If you're in the UK, I'm doing Edinburgh again next year. So I'll be doing previews and things around London, around the UK.
Mm-hmm.
All the dates will be on my website, robinjmorgan.co.uk. I'm on the Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, Bebo.
And the pilots and stuff, they're going
to... So the pilots, one of them's been and gone. On iPlayer, there'll be something called Relocation on start of the year, February, March.
Relocation, February, March?
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Thanks,
Robin, man. J. Morgan. Good to hang.
Thanks, man.
Alright, jerk-offs, that was my chat with Robin J. Morgan. Known on stage as Robin Morgan, but Robin J. Morgan, if you want to check him out on social media or at his website where his pilots will be up very soon. So definitely keep an eye on him. He is one of the loveliest people. Met him, as I said, at Edinburgh this year. Just sharing the same time slot and became friends. Not rivals, but friends. And he obviously did a great job there as I grilled him about whales for my personal use. Did I get anything out of it? No, not really. Whales seems like an incredibly reasonable place, but I want you to know I will continue to publicly dislike it for my own pleasure. That's it. That's another chat. We're back on the regular schedule, guys. So next Monday, a brand new episode will be out. I'm very excited with the guests I've got coming up. A lot of different places as we head into 2019. Just one final shout out for anybody. Get in touch with this podcast. If you listen to it regularly, tell one other person. That's my big idea. Just tell one other person about it. If everybody does that on the regular, we will expand this whole thing, get plenty of good guests coming on, and we can maybe get a live show happening if you guys will be into that at some point. I'm always available at Dan Muggleton on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you want to email me, it is muggletondaniel@gmail.com. I promise I get back to everybody. Whether you email, whether you message the fan page, I will always get back in touch. All right, for anybody coming to the special launch tomorrow, I'll see you there. 8 o'clock start January 8th at 2 North Down in London. Otherwise, please do get my special, Daniel Muggleton, Let's Never Hang Out. Until then, I will see you next week in a brand new part of the UK. Well, probably not, probably in London, to be honest, but I will see you soon. All right, cheers.